Good morning. It is Tuesday, September 17th, 8:30 a.m., and I'd like to call this audit committee meeting to order and begin by acknowledging we are in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq people. We have regrets from Deputy Mayor Oikle, Councillor Bell, and Councillor Moore is joining via Teams. Pardon me? No, but he's not here. So I'm looking for an approval of the agenda as circulated. Councillor Wynot, seconded by Councillor DeLong. All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. Approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy. I'm sorry, Councillor Moore. I forgot about you that fast.
I've been forgotten before. Okay.
Approval of the minutes of July 2nd. Councillor Vino, seconded by Mayor Bolivar Getson. All those in favor? Councillor Moore?
Yes.
Motion's passed unanimously. So we have Michael Beliveau and Michelle Leard with us today. Is that how we're going to start with the management letter, internal control letter? You guys can take it away.
Perfect. Thank you for having us. Firstly, just a thank you to the finance staff for during the audit this year. Everything goes quite smoothly here. They're willing to help anyway. Any information we request, they're on it and get it to us. So thank you very much. So I'm going to start by just going quickly to the trust statements. So that would be about page 53 if you're on paper. But basically, we've done two audits, one on the trust and one on the municipal unit. So the audit report for the trust is under the Canadian Accounting Standards for Not-for-Profits. So we have a clean opinion on that. There was no issues identified. And basically just the only thing in the trust is the LCCF money, school lands money, and burial money that's in trust for other purposes. So it's a quick and easy from our end and from your end as well. The next piece would be the actual municipal unit financial statements. So the first thing to bring you to is management's responsibility for the consolidated financial statements. So it's a report just before our audit report. All that's saying is basically these statements are yours. They're the municipal units. Our position as auditors is we take what you've done, we look at it and make sure it's correct, kind of in layman's terms. So that's just acknowledging that the responsibility of these statements are yours. The statements are yours. The only thing we have is the report that's actually attached to them. So the next page would be the independent auditor's reports. The standards would be the Canadian Public Sector Accounting Standards. So we issued a clean opinion as well on these statements. Nothing came to our attention throughout the audit. We even, no one identified any issues of fraud or potential fraud and those pieces. So the only other piece I wanted to touch on, as I know your Director of Finance is going to kind of go through the statements in greater detail, is just a brief overview of the fund accounting. So basically the municipality's financials are made up of your operating fund, reserve funds, and the capital fund. So as auditors, we're actually auditing the consolidated financial statements, which is bringing all those three together, but it just makes sense that for us to audit it, we need to basically audit each part of it. So they're each kind of their own standalone entity in a way that comes together. So if something happens in the capital fund, it happens kind of just in the capital fund. Now, if there was stuff moved from the reserves over to the capital fund, that is kind of a expense of the reserve and comes into the capital fund. So it's a little different than what people may be used to if they're dealing with not-for-profits or even private companies. So it's just to give you an idea of what actually makes up those numbers. If you have any questions, feel free to go deeper. Us accountants get excited about fund accounting, so we'll talk all day about it. The next piece is the internal control letter. So the internal control letter, as part of the audit, we sit down with staff and basically go over the procedures and policies that you have in place for various things, kind of looking at it from a revenue stream, a payable stream, all those sorts of things. So we get how things are done, and then for the audit, we test to make sure it is being done that way, and if we identify any weaknesses. So there was nothing that came to our attention this year. We enjoy working with the finance staff here, because oftentimes anything that may be of an issue, or if some things are changing, your finance staff is in touch with us, you know, in February when something's changing, or in August when something's changing, to say, hey, does this make sense, or whatnot. So there was nothing identified from an internal control basis. The next piece is the management letter. So in the management letter, there's just a quick reference to there was a new standard for accounting within PSAB this year, so PS 3400 for revenues. It didn't have any impact on your statements. Really, it's just a new standard for public sector entities that if they're transacting kind of as a private business would, where they're actually selling something and receiving something in return, but there was nothing that impacted the changes for how we were actually accounting for stuff going forward. There will be some changes coming in the next, I think April 1st of 2026 will be the next kind of big changes where they're actually going to, you know, significantly change what the statements look like, but that would be the main big thing on the horizon there. That would be all I have. Unless there's any questions, concerns, I'm happy to answer them.
Do we have any questions? Councillor Staton?
I do, and it's concerning statement 18. I think it's 18, your note 18. It's about the vacation liability, and my understanding of vacation is that it runs from April 1st to March 31st. Of the year, not the calendar year, but that year. And I'm just wondering why, maybe you can explain to me, it's confusing as to why there's over $500,000 liability in that account.
Do you want me to take that? I'm sure that they can, Michael and Michelle can back me up. But so we have to do calculations. So this would be page 32, I think, of your financial statements. So you're looking at the employee future benefit obligations. So it is done on a fiscal year basis, so March 31st, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is we look at sick leave. Sick leave isn't paid out when someone leaves, but there's a liability for it if, say, they went on maternity leave or they had an illness which took them away. So we have to do a calculation saying, okay, within the next, based pretty much on past trends, what will that sick leave number look like in the next year if we had to pay it out for everyone? So that's that number, the 78.8. Service awards, those are under council policy, years of service, things like that we have to do an accrual for the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And vacation pay is accrued vacation pay. So that would be the vacation that staff have that they have not used.
So can you tell me what that figure is? Do you have that broken out between the sick leave and the
yes.
service awards?
It's on page 32.
Okay.
It's their 78.8 accrued sick leave. It's 23,700 service awards and 488,916 in vacation pay.
So you're saying that there's $488,000 in vacation pay that people haven't taken their vacations.
That's correct. And we do have over, 70 employees, I think. So, you know, every year that we add more staff and they accrue vacation and not everybody has it taken. You got to remember that it's by anniversary date. So if people, you know, they could have a renewal in March. Like if someone was hired in March, like so we would owe them, if they hadn't taken vacation the year before, we'd owe them all their vacation because they haven't used it yet. So that's part of that.
I just find that strange that people are not taking vacations.
Oh, people are taking vacations. This is just the cost. This is the cost of the unused vacation.
But that's people that haven't taken their vacation is what you're saying.
Well, we do allow by policy to carry over 1/5 of people's vacations. And like I said, because people are hired at different times, like if we had everyone on an April 1st anniversary date, then by March 31st, most of the vacation would be used. But we don't. Anniversary dates are done as their hire date.
Okay.
So if someone was hired, even if someone was hired 25 years ago and they have probably the maximum vacation under your policy, if they were hired, like, in late February, they'd have very little of their vacation used by the end of March. So we have to account for that.
I understand that part of it. Okay, yeah. If they were hired in late February, there shouldn't be much vacation outstanding by the end of March. And I asked for an explanation last year. I didn't get it, so that's why I'm asking this year, because that looks like it's a carryover. Because last year it was around $500,000 as well.
So $422,000 last year.
Yeah, I just wanted an explanation as to what it was. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move down to Elena Wenzel, Director of Finance, for the financial statement report.
Thank you very much. So I have done a separate report called the Treasurer's Report that explains the consolidated financial statements. Mr. Béliveau did talk about, like, these financial statements are our statements. So we prepare them, and we prepare them in accordance with the provincial legislation and the Public Sector Accounting Standards Board. So there are four what they call required statements, consolidated statements. The first one is the consolidated statement of financial position, which is essentially a balance sheet. So it shows the financial assets and liabilities on a consolidated basis. Now, the things that we do consolidate into our statements are the LCLC and the Joint Services Board shows in our accumulated surplus, but they're accounted for as a portfolio investment. So it's not, we don't take their revenues into our revenue and their expenditures into our expenditures like we would do with the LCLC. So we can see that on this statement, we were able to invest in assets by leveraging funding from other levels of government and using our own reserves with no capital borrowing. It did result in a net financial asset for us, which increases our accumulated surplus. So the accumulated surplus, including the Joint Services Board and the LCLC, is $94 million. Not unless someone wants to see it. But $17 million of that 94 is our consolidated numbers. So we have some questions.
Sorry. No. Councillor DeLong?
Not at all. Yeah, I was actually going to ask if you were going to put this on the screen. Yeah, just so we can follow along.
Let's see if that'll come up. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, it's on the duplicate. Yeah. How do I do that now? Like that, maybe?
That's pretty.
Uh-oh. That didn't work. You know when I need... Technical.
What do you press to get the right screen?
I don't. Windows P. Oh, duplicate? Yes. Thank you very much, technical assistance in the back.
Never remember that.
Okay, so I don't remember it either. Okay, so this is the consolidated statement of financial position. So, as you can see, we have cash and cash equivalents of $43 million. Our taxes receivable are $2 million. Our other receivables are $2.4 million. Then there's the investment in our Municipal Joint Services Board of $3.5 million and some assets held for resale, which is the land that we have for sale that we've moved to inventory out of the capital fund of $241,000. In the liability side, there's about $2.9 million in accounts payable. We do have some payable to other governments, the 898, then the future benefit obligations, which we just talked about with Councillor Statton, was the 591. Asset retirement obligation is the new new ARO number is just over $1 million, and then there's some other liabilities that's sitting in note 8 of $11 million. So that gives us our net financial asset of $34.7 million. Then you add in your tangible capital assets of $59 million, prepaid expenses, which brings us there's very few prepaid expenses, $147,000. So we have an accumulated surplus of $94 million. And if I bring that there. And so like I said, in your treasurer's report, it does break it out by fund. So $42.9 million in capital, $33 million in reserves, $3.5 million in the Joint Services Board, and $14.4 million on the LCLC.
Councillor DeLong?
Thank you. Under liabilities, bank loan overdraft in 2024, we have $54. In 2023, we have about $1.5 million. What's going on there?
So the only bank account that was ever overdrawn was the Capital Bank account. And so we made some changes to pay all the bills out of the operating bank account. It was just easier than transferring the money back and forth because at year end we never really knew how much to transfer because the money, there's like the cash and cash equivalents, there's lots of money there, right? So what we decided to do was we made a change and we had we moved all our bills to be paid out of the operating bank account. And that $54 is one bill sitting in capital that we didn't get moved out in time for as of March 31st. So there'll be no bank overdraft in the current year.
Is that the one that was in our budget as $54 as well, and it just kind of stood out like a...
Oh, if it was sitting in, if you saw it in somewhere else as $54, then that's what it was. Okay. It was just us making some changes to the bank accounts, and we just missed one thing, and when it came up, it's like, oh, that's going to consolidate as $54. So my apologies that we kind of caught
Council
that.
Councilor Hazen?
Thank you. Under liabilities, again, under other, note 8, could you give some examples of what's falling into that category to reach $11.3 million?
Well, we actually can go to note 8, if you'd like, and take a look at that. That's probably the easiest thing to do. So just bear with me while I scroll down. Okay, so in other liabilities, we do have most of it's province of Nova Scotia, $5.5 million. If you recall that the province gave us municipal capital funds for the Cookeville Wastewater Treatment Plant and beautification in Osprey Village for sidewalks and things like that, and they gave that to us on March 31st. So that money is there. So that's a deferred revenue. So we have some other deferred revenues that we would have, like prepayment of taxes, that's sitting down there, $1.2 million. So those would be people who are prepaying their tax bills. Then we have some money in tax sale surplus. That's in another note, in note 9, which details every year and how much is there. There's a liability for landfill closure. And the loans that you see sitting there would be consolidated from the LCLC.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Okay,
great. Okay, so we'll move into the consolidated statement of operations, which is on page 5. So bear with me while I flip us back. That's not the right one. There we go. Okay, so this is would be your revenue and expenditures, which is your page 5. That's the wrong one. Just bear with me. There we go. My apologies. Yeah, so your assessable property taxes, your grants in lieu, services provided to other governments, other revenue, conditional transfers, unconditional transfers from other governments. These are things you would normally see on your budget when we do our operating budget, just that it has the LCLC consolidated in there and the capital fund as well. So the expenditures they just kind of go by section as per the financial reporting and accounting manual, and it does show that we have a $3.5 million consolidated surplus. So last year our accumulated surplus was $90 million, and adding that $3.5 brings us to $94 million. Also in the treasurer's report, there's a variance report that shows you your year end. Now, we did do a draft variance report for the fourth quarter, if you'll recall, at our last, our July Finance Committee meeting. We talked about that. So this is pretty similar, this variance report, to what you've already seen, other than it has the LCLC in it. And it's consolidated, so it's capital there, too.
Any questions? Okay.
Great. Okay, so if we move on to page 6, which is your consolidated statement of cash flows. So that represents the change in cash by showing how we financed our activities and met our cash requirements throughout the year. So we start with our annual surplus, which is affected by non-cash items like amortization, changes in receivables, changes in assets held for sale, because we did sell some assets, some land, our changes in payables and other liabilities, and our changes in prepaid. Then there's also capital activities, which is essentially buying capital assets and spending those funds, and any disposal capital assets, which again would be trade-in of vehicles or things like that. Change in bank loans or bank overdraft, which essentially is that last year we had shown a bank overdraft of quite a bit, over $1 million. Then it was just $54 this year, so there's a change in that. So that just explains how you get from your to your $33.5 million annual surplus. So our cash and cash equivalents were $32 million at the beginning of the year, and they were $43 million at the end of the year, based on the activities throughout the year.
Any questions?
Okay, Elena, we can continue.
Okay. So if we look at the statement of changes of net financial assets, this is another statement that's required by the public sector accounting reporting. This is one of the things I think that will change in the new accounting standards when they come. They're always working, I think, the Public Sector Accounting Board on trying to give information to the public that's useful for them. So it takes that same annual surplus and explains how the changes work to get it to show the net financial assets themselves. So it's just kind of zeroing in on your capital assets and what happened with them. So same thing, we acquire capital assets, we take it off, we amortize capital assets, we add it back, we have some prepaids in there, so it gives us a $2.2 million increase in financial assets, which takes us from 32.5 to 34.7.
Any questions on that? Perfect.
Okay, so then we move on to the compliance part of the audit committee. It's something that you have to review as an audit committee, which is your hospitality and expenses of reportable individuals. If you'll recall, under the legislation, if the municipality had any hospitality expenses, which would be expenses related to bringing like big events here or things like that, like if you were entertaining people, or we don't do that, so we don't have any. So we report that as zero. When we get to the reportable individuals, I did put an updated draft of Note 23 on your desk, which I have here. So we had a small error we noticed yesterday, because that always happens. There's always somebody notices something. and what it was is we had Deputy Mayor Oikle and Councillor Moore's names and expenses flipped. So that has been updated in on my sheet, and it's updated in front of you. And so we do have to report on all the reimbursable expenses that councils had and on your wages, so as well as the CAO. So that's what that report is.
Do we have any questions? Okay, so Elena, does that take you?
We're getting close.
Okay.
So if we want to move down, Michael did touch on our trust fund statements. So on page 55, like the trust fund is actually separate from the rest of your consolidated statements. It's actually audited, as Michael said, as a not-for-profit. And there's only a few things that are in our trust fund. There are some burial funds for some residents at Riverview Enhanced Living. There's two parcels of land, New Germany and Parkview High School. And there's also the Lunenburg County Community Fund, which would be the $1 million that they that they donated for the LaHave Straight Pipe program that we put in trust after the homeowners paid it back. And so that's sitting there as $1 million in the trust fund. The interest for the LCCF, that stays in the general fund as per the agreement with the LCCF. The burial funds, that accumulates, so that the interest is added to those funds and are available for those three residents when they need them. The school lands, the interest gets paid back to the two schools for books. So the one other thing that I was going to just chat about is compliance. So there are some statutory and regulatory obligations within the committee's area of responsibility, which is making sure that you review your audited financial statements, which we're doing, looking at the annual budget variances, the expenses for reportable individuals and hospitality expenses, which we've met that obligation. We can report that all our mandatory reporting to the province, the annual expenditure report and statement of estimates, they've been submitted before the required deadlines. My note says the financial information return has not been released by the province, but it was released last Wednesday afternoon or Thursday. So we're working on it now. It will be due by September 30th. So we will submit it once council approves the statements on the 24th. The financial information return will be submitted at that time as well.
Do we have any questions? Councillor DeLong?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions that take us back a ways in the report. Sorry.
Yep.
So on page 36, under tangible capital assets, toward the bottom of the first figure there, what does work in progress pertain to?
Oh, those are capital assets that aren't finished yet, and the work in progress is the Cookeville Wastewater Treatment Plant. I need to get to it, though.
And I have a question on page 38.
Okay.
So it says that one of the payments under commitments is related to recycling. We're moving away from that, though. Is that this is still accurate, even if we're going to be moving to circular materials for our recycling? Is that correct?
What note are you on, Councilor?
Sorry, I'm on note 15.
Note 15. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, commitments, section A, payments.
Yeah.
Just subsection 2.
Yep. Oh, on page 26. Sorry, my fault.
Yeah, I should have directed you to where I was talking about before I started talking.
That's okay. No, it's my fault.
There we go.
Okay, right in here.
Yeah.
So you're asking about...
where it says the municipality, Town of Bridgewater, Town of Mahone Bay, entered into a 10-year contract in 2012. So we're past the date of that contract now. Is that what's going to be moving to circular materials? Or maybe this question is out of turn. Maybe
That's the agreement with Kaiser Meadow and the put or pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this is still in force then, this contract?
There was a 2-year extension.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So perhaps I didn't quite get that updated in the note.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that I understood. Thank you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The Kaiser Meadow.
Great. Thank you. Also, there's a note about the VIC on page 43. No, sorry, 55, which is note 29. Uh, 29F.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if this is still accurate as well, where we aren't carrying the Visitor Information Center any longer.
Well, I guess we do have mobile tourism, so we are managing the VIC. We're just managing it under a mobile model.
Okay, so it's still what we're doing. It's just the older name for it, maybe.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have any other questions? Okay, we can continue.
Are you done?
I think I'm done.
Yeah, I think
there's
you are
no
too.
More questions.
Okay, if there aren't any questions, we'll put a motion to accept the Approve the financial statements for the year end March 31st. Councilor Vino, are you prepared to make that motion?
Yes, I have it in front of me now. Thank you. To the Chair and members of the Audit Committee, I move that the Audit Committee recommends to Council that Municipal Council approves the Municipality of the District of Lunenburg's financial statements for the year ended March 31st, 2024, and I so move.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor DeLong? All those in favor? Councillor Moore?
Aye.
Motion's passed unanimously. And so now we look for an adjournment. Councillor Wynott? Seconded by Councillor Bell. All those in favor? Motion is passed unanimously. Meeting is adjourned.
Aye.
I am so sorry.